forgot my one prompt this morning. Not as good as a rake, but... Friends, we come now to another parable in the Gospel of Matthew that follows up our parable of the short story of the talents, the bags of silver we heard last week. And this week we're going to hear another famous parable that asks us some big questions. So I invite you to listen with me as you hear from God's word this morning from Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we see you sick or in person and or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of these, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away from you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we have heard the witness of your scripture. By your Holy Spirit, witness to us a word that you would have us hear. Open our ears and our hearts to receive that word from you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So taking a page from our installation last week, and thank you for everyone who contributed, was able to take part in that very special first Sunday together. So my friend Holly gave me this book. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse by Charlie McKessie. And the good children's authors know how to take truths and make them simple enough for a child, and the best ones will turn it back around on the adults. So I want to read this, just a couple of lines for you. "Hello," the boy said to the mole. The boy picks up the mole. "I'm so small," said the mole. "Yes," said the boy, "but you make a world of difference." And they climb up into a tree. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Kind," said the boy. "What do you think success is?" asked the boy. "To love," said the mole. Now, you can want whatever you want and think success is whatever you think success is, but I picked this book because it says something very profound and good and true, and I think there's something Christ-like in how our desires are shaped towards love. So this passage from Scripture, this parable of the sheep and the goats, and
as we were talking over this at staff, not more than one person said, "Oh, why do you have to go with goats? I love goats." I'm always endeared. You see, maybe it's a little age reference, but when you see the people doing yoga and then the baby goats climb all over them. So this passage that we read right at the Advent, it's often read on this last Sunday, often also called Christ the King Sunday. This is a Sunday that was established in the early in 1925 by Pope Pius XII. I Googled it. And essentially as rising tensions in Russia and all over Europe were kind of fomenting, he established this Christ the King Sunday to say that great call that Jesus is Lord, Christ is our King. And you've probably heard this famous parable before. It does what parables are meant to do. We talked about it a little bit last week, that it plain language, it takes things that you know. You fed me. You didn't visit me when I was in prison. And turns it on its head to make a new point. When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And parables, I think, less about enforcing a teaching or saying or describing, this is what the end will look like. And it asks more questions, because this parable can easily lend itself to that set of well-intentioned obligations. We have to care for those on the bottom. We have to be generous. Which is just going to set up for another set of failures. So this parable asks us, what do you want to be? What do you think success is? And Jesus, telling the story, is actually pointing to this ancient view of God that not only cares about, but is with those who are at their worst, who cares about and loves those at the bottom who are struggling. You know, you have those lines like in Psalm 99 that's sang over and over, "Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity, you have done justice and righteousness in Jacob." Or throughout the prophets, you'll hear this kind of intention, this understanding of God, kind of like from Isaiah 57, which says, "For thus says the High and the Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place. And also," and this is the fascinating part, "also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." So the set for when the master returns in this series of returning parables, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him. And you get this sense of majesty, the one who made these nations, the one that created all of this, right? The smallest atoms to quarks, protons, bosons, to our planet and the sun and the solar system and the galaxy and the largest superclusters. The God who makes different vibrations work together so that we can have music. The God who puts air in our lungs, rain onto the land, sun onto the plants. The one who made each of us unique, creates all of us together. That's the one who will make the call about all of this. And yet this God of glory who comes with majesty, the one who is the God of Trinity, three in one, one in three, the one of whom we can't truly describe, where our language will always fall a little bit short of the divine. And what does this one say? The one who is majestic and glorious and creates and redeems and sustains all of this. "Come and inherit the kingdom, because you didn't know what you were doing." And I like this children's book that can say that love is success and that growing up to be kind is worth it, because at bottom we all know that goodness is worth it. There is a certain universalness of this sense of goodness. And you know, a fun fact about Julie and me, as you're getting to know us, We love to watch documentaries. In particular, we love watching cult, multi-level marketing, and religious scandals. It's kind of a how not to. It's kind of a how not to in this line of work. And though maybe you don't have our exact TV watching habits, all of us have a story of someone who claimed to love God but harmed others. And yet we also know that maybe someone that we know and love will never show up at a church, but are good to those in need. And in my experience, those people might not show up on Sunday, but they might be interested in partnering with a church who also cares. They might be interested in partnering with a church that cares about other people's children, that embodies that call to visit, care, and feed. And I know that this is one of those churches. We care for other people's children when we know that their holiday to be the best that it can be with a parent or two imprisoned, and we send them gifts. I know that this is the kind of church that cares by providing housing and providing a warm place as it's getting especially cold, as we have these signs out that invite you to take part. And the Son of Man comes to make the call and says, "Come, you who are blessed, who were generous to my children when I was imprisoned. When you hosted me in those cold nights in December." And the righteous respond, "Excuse me, not that I'm complaining or anything, but are you sure you got the right people? Because I don't remember helping you. Every time you welcomed the stranger, you visit the imprisoned, and every time you fed those who needed it." And on the other hand, you have the other side. The Son of Man turns around and says, "Yeah, you never helped me." And they said, "Well, when did we not help you?" You know the story. So we can turn this into that morality tale. The really good people were rewarded. The wicked got what was coming to them. And that's not really good news, or is it really news? It's got this almost unconsciousness to it. Not just lifting up those who unconsciously care or villainizing those who are bad, but just knowing what kind of people are we as we're going about our business, going about our lives. I like to think of Jesus asking a question, what if God's judgment was based on something else entirely? What if we don't know what God's judgment is based on? And I think the good news is because of the God that knows us and loves us and that we belong to, we don't truly know, because we aren't the judge, even though happy to volunteer. And maybe we'll enlist ourselves as the jury while we're at it. Because God's story is so much bigger, so much grander, so much more wild than we might know just with what we know individually. You know, there's so much, you don't know when God approaches you, how people are struggling. You don't always know exactly how someone might be in need. And you don't know that maybe the actions that you did, that just, you're just going about your day, were actually doing something and you didn't even realize it. I like to think of, you know, those teachers who, you have those teachers who, I'm sure we've got a few here who've had this experience, who someone comes up and says, "Oh my gosh, you changed my life, you taught me, inspired me," and you're like, "Oh my gosh, so good to see you." And the person turns to the teacher and they're like, "Who is that?" And they're like, "No idea." And you know, I'm not going to get up here and pretend that I'm more virtuous than you, or I know the best ways to help others, because I have my gifts, but there are also many gifts and talents and those who have been trained and educated that experience and story far better than I. And maybe this is just me, but you know, sometimes you can overthink it. Maybe you see the person at the grocery store or on the main street, and you're not sure exactly what they're going to use the money for. Just don't know. So I think the invitation of this passage is to wonder when God might be approaching us. What are the ways in which we need to be challenged today to love as God has loved us? Because our God is with those at the bottom and promises to be with them, and those on the bottom might just come and be God to us. for our God became one of us as a normal person in a backwater corner of the Roman Empire, and yet he was fully man and fully God. And he came to teach us and be with us and to heal us. And then he died as a common criminal for us and our salvation. Where the least of these are given what they need, when God shows us how the new life might be with those who don't have their lives together, and those who are struggling might be the ones that God uses to show grace, and that those who had no idea they were serving God were doing so the whole time. And Jesus Christ, who came to be one of us and was killed and rose, he offers a gift that began with his body, the glorious third day, redemption, resurrection, a new life. Because no matter where we live, our King is not one of power and domination. Our King is one of love. Our King isn't trying to scare us into doing good, but challenges us and invites us into that different way, that different kingdom. And I think this parable asks us to become aware of what kind of people is God calling us to be. Like that simple children's book, who do we want to be? What do you think success is? Because we belong to the God who inspires us to love because he loved us first. We want to be the kind of people who live by faith. It's part of why we do confession week in and week out. When we're coming before God, like I mentioned before, God isn't the one whose mind needs changing. Confession is our time to refocus what we want, to rethink what we do next, knowing that we come before the judge whose decision has always been. And we belong, and I think one of the benefits of being a Christian is that we're conscious that we want to be different, that we want to be more like Christ, and that we don't do it on our own. So my hope for you is that you believe. Believe that there is enough. Believe that God is with you and around you. Believe that grace is with you and might just be meeting you in the stranger. Might be meeting you in the poor, in the imprisoned. And like that ancient prayer attributed to St. Patrick of Ireland that I love so much. Maybe you know it. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ in the heart of every person who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. That is the King we belong to. That is the King we long to see. May it be so. Amen. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, you have been so good to us. And on this day of Christ the King Sunday, we confess that you are our King. When there are so many things in our world that will want our attention, will want our praise, God, put them in their right place and help us to focus on you so that we can focus on your precious ones. And help us to see you, to know that you are within us and moving us, and to see you and those that will come before us. We give thanks for all of these through Christ our Lord. Amen.